As our 6:30 comedy next on Radio 4, revisiting world events from years gone by and exploring what he was doing at the time. This evening, we're turning back the clock just 5 years to 2020. But if you'd like to go further back...
From 1970 to 75, Bowie didn't just break the rules, he rewrote them.
David Bowie, Changeling.
I'm Kate Moss, and in this new podcast, I'll dive into Bowie's greatest transformation.
Truly nothing was off limits.
Every single song was just jaw-dropping.
With exclusive interviews and rare archive.
Here I am in my own cosmic space.
We'll chart the Starman's evolution.
You dared be different.
And explore his continuing legacy.
David Bowie, Changeling.
With me, Kate Moss. Listen now on BBC Sounds.
Front Row is live from the Contains Strong Language Festival in Bradford this evening, the BBC's annual celebration of poetry, performance and spoken word. And among Nukahad's guests, Jeremy Dyson, who'll be discussing his new Radio 4 comedy drama, High Cockalorum. That's at 7:15. But now, time for comedy.
This is Glenn Moore's Almanac, a show all about famous dates in history and what I was doing on those days, starring me, Glenn Moore! Thank you so, so much and welcome. I would like to talk to you tonight about March the 23rd, 2020, a day in my life where I was forced to mature and really become a grown-up. Now, acting like more of an adult is something I'm doing all the time. For instance, I realised just last week that being in my 30s, I'm just a bit too old to still be living with relatives. I've asked my five-year-old son to move out. I know I'm talking about 2020, but you can go back to any March 23rd and you will find something interesting that happened. In 1839, the Boston Morning Post publishes the first recorded use of the word OK, where it was used by my dad in response to a text saying I'd gotten engaged. I do like that word. I like the word OK. My wife recently described my lovemaking as A-OK. The other options were B, good, and C, great. In 1857, the first elevator was installed. Before that, people used to just have to fall between floors. In 1903, the Wright brothers patented their flying machine, so the Wrong brothers felt very silly. And in 2020, something major happened to me, relationship-wise. My wife and I had spoken about the idea of having a baby, and we'd been living together for a while, and so we went into 2020 in our final weeks just as a two, you know, because she left me in February. Yes, lady in the second row with your hand up.
Did she actually leave you?
No, that was a fib. I was joking. Sorry, I should probably explain. I'm, of course, very grateful to be doing a show on Radio 4. As some of you may know, the BBC is downsizing. What that means is some programmes are now having to share a time slot. So tonight we're sharing the show with Any Questions.
Yeah, I've got one.
No, sorry, that wasn't an invitation.
What other cuts are there?
Well, off the top of my head, BBC 3 and BBC 4 have merged to form BBC 7. on the TV, EastEnders has been merged with The Weather.
Get out of my pub! Cos it's gonna be a scorcher today.
CBeebies has merged with BBC Parliament. No, you may have heard this. You may have heard this clash in the Commons just yesterday on PMQs.
I'd like to ask the Right Honourable Gentleman why he's not paying tax on Tumble Manor.
Because I've got non-domiciled status. I'm very grateful you're all here. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it turns out if you combine the full audiences of my show and the full audience of Any Questions, you can nearly fill one room. And I'm not too selfish that I can't share a time slot. Ridding myself of selfishness was a big theme in my life in 2020. I mean, going into that year, having a kid wasn't something I really had on the cards. I just wanted to focus on my own career. I didn't have the self-confidence to be a parent, the courage in my convictions. I mean, I claim to have courage in my convictions, but I can never back it up. I'm one of those people where, like, I wear a Che Guevara t-shirt. I couldn't name any of his songs. I was worried if I became a parent, I wouldn't enjoy any of it. I wouldn't enjoy the birthday parties, the Christmases. I wouldn't want to have like a gender reveal party. They're tacky as hell. They make me sick. Like physically, I got ill from one a few years ago. My cousin was pregnant. She was having a girl. So all the food at the gender reveal party was like pink on the inside. That chicken burger is the hardest I've ever vomited in my life. There is so much stuff about being a parent I don't want to do. I don't want to be seen crossing the road with a pram looking like a background character in a hazard perception test. I don't want to feed a toddler. I know how difficult it is to feed a toddler because I've experienced the equivalent. I've had a Hoover die on me mid-Hoover. I know what it's like to be on your hands and knees desperately trying to feed crisps one by one into the nozzle. Say, come on, Henry, just one more mouthful. So, when my girlfriend had a... I need to stop saying girlfriend. I literally got married last year to one of her best friends. When my wife told me she was pregnant, at first I was scared. But the more I considered, I thought, you know what? I can do this. I'm not like other 27-year-olds. Well, I'm 36, but like I'm not afraid. And actually, maybe it might transform my life for the better in ways I couldn't even fathom at first. In the same way that, like, the invention of fridges must have done wonders for the fridge magnet industry. So as the pregnancy went on, I got into the idea of it more. You find yourself enthusiastically buying a pram, giving it a spin in the John Lewis changing rooms, you know? Do you possibly have this in the next size up? Each night you're flicking through the big book of baby surnames. Honey, what do you think of Oxlade Chamberlain? I decided life isn't just about me. It's equally about the ones I love. So I decided to throw myself into being a parent head first. And it's taken up all my focus preparing for that birth. I'm ignoring all noise from the outside world in March 2020. I do not know what is going on. I'm not reading newspapers. I'm not checking my phone. I've turned off notifications from the NHS app. I realise now my mistake. So that was my situation at the time. I ask at this juncture, any questions?
Why is it called Naked Attraction and not... Who wants to see a willy on air?
I meant questions about the show. Look, to really get excited about the birth, my wife suggested me having a pre-baby party, a sort of stag do for the night before a birth. People say the night before your wedding is your last night of freedom. No, it is not. You can leave a marriage. No matter how bad your relationship is, you cannot divorce your child. I've learned. No matter how many lawyers I've asked. So what are we calling a stag do for the night before the birth? A dadchula party? A adult shower? Pre-nappy-chill agreement? I don't know. And what are you meant to do? Last night of freedom before a baby? I mean, do you get to pick up and hold a different baby and hope your wife doesn't find out? Fortunately, these decisions weren't in my hands. It was being organised by the godfather, the most responsible man possible. My brother-in-law Hayden is behind it, and he's organised a huge pub crawl, which I'm sort of against. Like, if a stag do is doing all the things you can't do when you're married, going out partying all the time, this should be all the crazy things you can't do when you're a parent. So, as part of this party, I should have just gotten a good night's sleep and me and my wife watching a whole TV series at the same time as each other and not knowing what meconium is. Anyone who enjoyed that, you're either a parent, a doctor, or you need to see a GP about your bowel movements. I arrive at the Daddy Do in central London expecting all of my mates to be there, and at the start it's just me and the godfather, my brother-in-law Hayden, on a Monday morning. I'm expecting more people to join us on the route, surely, but the usual excuses came up. It's a Monday. I don't feel safe using the tube. I've got a stuck up on eggs and toilet roll. I've lost all sense of taste and smell. I get it. It's 2020. Life gets in the way. The lack of friends would have been awkward enough had it not been for Hayden making us do it in fancy dress. I do not like fancy dress at the best of times. In fact, I sometimes actually find it offensive. Like Halloween, for instance, is a really difficult time for me because my uncle was actually killed by a sexy cat. Hayden got us Dadchula Party t-shirts just like a stag do. Now, matching t-shirts are great when there are 20 of you. When it's just a pair of you, it looks like you're both just big fans of a clothing brand called Good Luck Glenn. What makes it worse is in this first pub, all Hayden is asking me is how I feel about having a kid tomorrow. I tell him it's just something I wasn't expecting to ever happen in my life. I wasn't even expecting to get married in the first place. I'm someone who once clicked on a pop-up that said, click here for pictures of lonely singles in your area, and I clicked on it. It was just pictures of me. But I found the right person, a teacher. Loved being with a teacher. Sex was hard work, but on the last day of term, she'd wheel out a big telly, we just watched porn. I'm so nervous about having a kid. I'm nervous I'm going to do a bad job. I mean, the sequel's always worse than the original. Do you know what I mean? Nah, Home Alone 2, shame on you. Home Alone 3, shame on me. Sure, my family's ready for me to have a kid. My wife is ready for me to have a kid. My friends are, but I'm not. It's like we're operating at two different speeds. It's like they're a washing machine and I'm the washing machine door. Do you know what I mean? The washing machine finishes its cycle, it beeps like, I'm finished, and you go to open the door and the door's like, I'm not. I don't know enough about life to have a kid. I'll give you an example. Some friends of mine did IVF recently, and it meant my male friend had to go to the clinic and offer his contribution. And I always thought this was an urban legend, but they let him into a small room and offered him a range of materials to act as a catalyst for said contribution. I understand that. It's just, in a few weeks, I've got to give a stool sample. Are they going to show me scary movies so I shit myself? I don't know anything. What will I teach the kid? I can't pass on any academic stuff or life skills. I don't know the basics. I don't know the phonetic alphabet. It might not seem like a big deal to a lot of you. A lot of you are confidently saying N for Nigel over the phone like idiots. That's okay. That's okay, still better than what I'm doing, saying M for Movember, confusing every cashier I ever speak to. I just filled out my postcode to the bank recently. My postcode ends in JP. The guy over the phone was like, is that AB? I was like, no, it's JP. He was like, AD. I was like, no, it's JP for Joaquin Phoenix. What use is that to anyone? I'm at least intelligent enough to know how dumb I am, how uncultured I am. By the time I was 15 years old, I'd seen maybe 4 films ever. Do you know how confusing it is to find out at the age of 15 that there is a movie to go alongside and help explain the existence of the song Ghostbusters? After the first awkward drink, we move on to the next pub. Why? Me and Hayden are playing pub cricket. Yes, the man about to be executed by a firing squad. Any last words?
What is pub cricket?
Oh, that's a real shame. Partly because that means tonight's show no longer counts as sold out. So, pub cricket, you get given 100 limbs and you've got to go to as many pubs as possible to make up those limbs. So, the Duke's Arms would count as 2, so you've then got 98 limbs to go. Black Horse counts for 4, the Inbred Prince is 5. It should be a fun idea. You're meant to go to loads of places. First place Hayden takes us to, the Millipede. What is the point? What? But I can't criticise him because he's thrown me this daddy-do. And he's the responsible man as well. He is going to be the godfather. This is how grown up he is. This is how grown up he is. None of my friends own a car. Hayden sleeps in his. We get to a third pub and then we hit the slippery slope of another couple of pints. As you get older, getting hammered just feels less appealing. There's no worse feeling than waking up hungover, getting like 4 hours sleep, like Thatcher levels of sleep. And I've realised recently, it's only when you start to get Margaret Thatcher amounts of sleep that you really begin to understand that's why Margaret Thatcher was the way she was. You know, wake up hungover after 4 hours sleep, you're like, oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll just shut the damn mines. Just shut it all down. I don't care. The room is spinning and this lady is not for turning. I'm so hungover. I'm so ill I can't stand the sight of milk or the idea of school children having access to it. I mean, alcohol messes with your sleep, it messes with your dreams. Every time I get drunk, I dream I'm running naked through a field with Mary Berry. And... oh, sorry, do you get to choose what you dream about? No? Right, then don't judge people who can, okay? Yes, the man who's just finished burping. You've had your hand up for a while. What would you like to ask? Is it baby-related? Yes, the man who's just finished burping.
Just wondering if we're going to hear from anyone other than you tonight.
I beg your pardon? No, it's my show. It's Glenmore's Almanac. It's not everyone else's almanac. I didn't get my own show out of nowhere. You know, do you know how much hard work and effort and years of toil my dad had to put in to become Director General of the BBC? Back on the Dadgela party, and the pub was just getting emptier and emptier. Various pubgoers were getting up and going. People kept checking their phones, hurriedly making their excuses and leaving until eventually it's just me and Hayden. We are not leaving. We are the last men standing. I'm not checking my phone for anyone. We're too addicted as a society. My tactic was to put my phone in black and white mode. It actually helps reduce the distractions of your phone. It's called grayscaling, and it's incredible, mostly. The problem is I've recently been really getting into my art house cinema. Now, as the pub gets quieter, the onus on us having a conversation in this silent establishment is greater. So we're knocking our drinks back, realising in real time we really don't have a tremendous amount in common, and this might actually end up being quite a long night. At one point, I ask how things are going romantically in his life, and he says, yeah, it's okay, he's now in a relationship with our mutual friend Trevor. And I'm like, oh my God, amazing, you know, congrats, I didn't know you were gay. And he says, I'm not really enjoying myself, to be honest. I suddenly get a phone call. Tempted though I am to avoid any contact with the outside world, I pick up. It's one of my wife's friends. Well, my wife's just gone into labour. Her waters had splashed. It's not meant to be happening today. I mean, this isn't a plot twist. I'm no M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, he's so good at plot twists, the M stands for Bernard. But this isn't a twist. It is just something that happens. But I did not expect the birth to be this early. Yes, the guy loves Simon Says. Ask a question. The guy loves Simon Says. Ask a question. Oh, for God's sake. Simon Says, guy who loves Simon Says, ask a question.
When was the baby meant to be due?
It was meant to be due the next day. But I tried to reassure myself. I go, you know what? March 23rd is an all right date for a birth. The birthday of the pirate William Kidd, born in 1645. Obviously, back at the time, he was known as William Baby. I immediately look up how to get to the hospital, and I can already see it's going to be a complete nightmare getting there. All the trains are down. I mean, typical. And I've been warned as well that the hospital is super busy for some reason. I tried to say goodbye to Hayden. I feel bad for abandoning the party. It's not an event I wanted to go to, but I do appreciate the work he put in to organise it. And he really seems like the only person who's got it together of everyone I know. I mean, half my friends don't have kids. Half my friends aren't grown up enough to get married. Weddings? Hayden's had 8. And the hardest part is, I can't say why I'm leaving. Yes, another question. The man who's recently been interviewed as a witness on the news?
Why can't you just tell him my wife's gone into labour?
Why can't I just tell him my wife's gone into labour? Well, we'd promised each other we wouldn't tell people when she went into labour because we didn't want people texting us every 5 minutes asking if the baby had been born yet. So annoyingly, I can't explain the situation to Hayden. I'm having to give him vague excuses. And he says in a whiny voice, he goes, you can't go, we've still got more pubs to go. But he can see I'm visibly stressed. You know when someone does one irritating thing, and then after that you just start to find everything they say annoying? I know I shouldn't get critical over that sort of annoying thing, but at the same time, not to victim blame the three little pigs. If any of my friends said chinny chin chin, I would do everything in my power to demolish their home. I get outside. I realise immediately I had downed my last pint too quickly and I really need to use the bathroom. Annoyingly, as soon as I go back inside the pub to ask to use the bathroom, they're treating me like a brand new customer. They're like, well, actually, you need to buy a drink first. And I'm furious at stress. I'm yelling at them like, but you did this. This is your way. I leave the bar blind drunk and I stumble into the road, nearly getting hit by a car. Very apt for that to happen on March 23rd. It's near miss day. Genuinely. Even more apt considering this year I was so close to forgetting to celebrate near miss day. Rushing to a hospital, it is not how I live my life. I prefer things sedentary. I wish I could just be sitting in that pub all day. What I want to do ever is just watch the world go by. Often I'll just sit in my gym's changing room and just people watch. I run to the hospital, and while I'm sprinting, I start to wonder whether my own upbringing stood me in good stead to raise a child. I mean, mine was simple and generic. Complicated? Occasionally. My mum ran off with this complete dickhead. And 9 months later, they had me. But mostly, my childhood was nice. Santa was always very generous, something my parents could have taken note of. Always had fun birthday parties, would always hire the local kids' entertainer, Typo the Clown. I was in a very loving relationship with my mum and dad. They'd always leave little nice notes in my lunchbox at school saying, we love you, son, stuff like that. Oh, man in the white shirt.
Would you have preferred food?
I would have preferred food, yes. Look, we loved each other like any other family. We bickered like any other family. It was natural. We went to Alton Towers when we were kids. Meant to be the most fun day ever. Instead, we bickered the whole way there. Argued all the way around Alton Towers. We had such a miserable time. We were so visibly unhappy that after we'd been on the log flume, we bought a photo of a different family's ride. But will I be as good a parent as mine were to me? Not just when I was a kid, but when I was a teenager as well. I mean, when I was 13, my dad taught me how to Google how to shave. That sort of thing stays with you. Another question, yes, the man who's running late for tonight's show? No? Okay. I get to the nearest underground station. All transport's down for some reason. There's literally one tube running anywhere, and I'm the only person riding it. So I get to have the private jet experience. And actually, private tube is better than private jet. Less faff. You don't have to perform a sex act on a billionaire to get there. The tube arrives. The tube that's going to be going to the hospital. The doors open. I close my eyes. I take a deep breath. I take a step forward. The doors close. In front of me, I should have taken two steps. Damn it, I've missed the only tube. I'm going to have to fully do this on foot, and I'm sprinting through London, feeling time just whizzing by as I'm on track to arrive later and later at the hospital. At this rate, I'm going to miss the kids' upbringing. The speed at which time passes frightens me. Hayden had said to me at one point earlier on that evening, he said, do you ever think there was a day where your dad picked you up and put you on his shoulders for the last time ever? I mean, for Hayden, it was 2 weeks previously, and it killed his dad instantly. And then before you know it, the kid is talking and you realise you are taking care of an actual human being. I mean, a friend of mine has a kid and the kid's still being breastfed, but the kid still asks for it? Yeah, so the kid gestures and the kid says, milk. That's too old, isn't it? If you can ask. I think particularly when it's over text. Speaking of texts, I get another message asking where I am, wondering why I'm so late. Everyone must think I'm a layabout, just so disorganized. My God, I can't be a parent. I'm not serious enough. I'm so silly. Photographers say to me, all right, let's do a serious one. I haven't got my life together. I haven't. About a month previously, our oven broke. I couldn't afford to get the oven repaired. I had to reheat my chips using my wife's hair straighteners. Which is rubbish because, like, the best thing about curly fries is the shape. I mean, do I even have enough of an income to raise a child? Was I happy enough to raise a child? I mean, my therapist actually told me to quit doing stand-up comedy in a YouTube comment about 6 months before we met. Yes, question from the man with the phobia of roaming microphones. Ugh, that's okay. We can leave it, it's fine. fine. I'm trying to remember the advice everyone had given me in the build-up to the birth. Just relax. When the baby comes, relax. Don't be tense. I'm thinking about this as I sprint through the streets, wondering why they're so empty. And I realize it never benefits you to be psychologically tense or physically tense. Happened to a pal of mine years ago. Similar thing. He's on his gap year, him and a bunch of friends. They're driving through Slovakia and they've hired a minibus. And they're driving overnight, like 3 a.m. So my friend is fast asleep. The rest of his friends are wide awake. They're driving down the motorway. Suddenly they realize we're about to crash into the back of a lorry. So the guys all tense up, racing for impact, and they suffered broken bones as a result. My friend, who was fast asleep, suffered a couple of minor cuts and bruises. I mean, he's many why they crashed in the first place. But I can't help but get tense. Somehow my family have already heard about the fact my wife's waters have sploshed. I mean, my nan and granddad rang in. They were on a weekend away at Guy's in St. Thomas's. I feel guilty saying I was tense and stressed. I mean, I wasn't the one in any discomfort or peril. And I also don't mean to appropriate the idea of stress. I mean, you haven't known true stress until you've had food poisoning during a massage, but... I was reluctant to have a kid, but I'm not someone who can ever say no. I mean, I'm better at it now, but I shy away from confrontation. Like, I go swimming every week, and I don't know if this is weird, but I go swimming with my glasses on. The way I see it is, like, if my head's not going below the water, then it's absolutely fine. And then the other week, the lifeguard came over to me, and he said, we were wondering if you wouldn't mind taking your glasses off. And I assumed it was like a health and safety thing, and I was like, oh, absolutely fine, you know, I'll take my glasses off. And then I went, sorry, can I just ask why you need me to take my glasses off? And he said, well... what are you trying to see? No, if he's, I'm not a pervert, they're not X-ray. They're to see as much as you, they're not my more than glasses, they're my as much as glasses. That's not how it works. So I stood my ground, we've reached a compromise. I have to take my glasses off, but to level the playing field, all the other swimmers have to be blindfolded. I can't help but get tense about the birth. I can't help but get tense over how underqualified I am and how I'm not ready. I want time to slow down. Can we all please just wait a sloppy second? I need more time. The hospital's in sight. My breathing is heavy and my mind is confused. I'm understandably all over the place. I mean, I'm an easily confused person. This is how easily confused I am. When I left my home earlier tonight, I saw my neighbours had tied some balloons to a lamppost outside their home. And hours later, I still can't work out if they're having a party or if a clown got hit by a car. Poor typo. I burst through the doors of the hospital, which, considering they were automatic doors, was really impressive and caused hundreds of pounds worth of damage. I went straight to what felt like the right department, A&E, which I think stands for antenatal and epidural. I was quickly reunited with my partner. They gave us the lowdown on how this was going to work. The doctors handed me the scrubs. I said, I'm doing it. And after a quick science lesson, they calmed me down. They were confident that today was going to be the delivery date, the birthday. I mean, they were all singing happy birthday as they're washing their hands. They seemed certain. I was told to hang around for a couple of hours, which I did, and I decided if we're going to be here for a long time, I need to get some essential supplies. I went to the supermarket, and annoyingly, I couldn't get anything. I needed eggs, because if I'm not sleeping, I need energy from protein, and I need loo roll, because I'm allergic to eggs. And I couldn't get either of these things. I mean, obviously, I'm not complaining about the situation. It's harder for my partner. Of course it is. She's a teacher. That is a harder job than this. She has to work so much harder than her male colleagues, and she gets less respect, and it's not fair. It's like that phrase, Rose West did everything Fred West did, but backwards and in heels. And this is all in the NHS as well. I cannot be grateful enough for that. Funnily enough, March 23rd, 2010 was when Obamacare was signed into US law. And when you look at the medical side of things in the US, I mean, going to the doctors in America costs thousands of dollars. I mean, that includes flights there and back, but still. I was with my wife when they asked, do you want to be in the delivery room during the birth? This was met with a resounding no. But the doctor informed my wife she was actually a pretty crucial part of the process. The labor was long. Several hours. I don't know how you have the fortitude to just get through it. It's like when you hear about film stars preparing. I mean, I've never seen it. I couldn't even tell you what it's about. But apparently, when he was in The Elephant Man, John Hurt would be in makeup for 6 hours. God, he must have looked so fit. I hope that the actual birth itself is magical. I haven't had much magic in my life, really. I mean, when I was a kid, I was eating a packet of beef jerky once. I found a gold silica gel packet, and me and my granddad won a tour of an abattoir, but that's kind of it. And then after several hours, they said, meet your newborn baby. I don't know why they say the word newborn as if there's a possibility of an old-born baby doing the rounds. But a newborn baby, £8. Hospital parking charges really soured the experience. The baby was £9. I also feel like birth shouldn't be the only time you announce someone's weight. You should also be allowed to be like, granddad passed away today, 90 years old. £191, 4 ounces. Bit bigger than his sister. To think if my wife and I could have known the moment we met that this would be the result years later. If we could have known the moment I'd first sidled up to her at a bar and flirtatiously said to her, if I could rearrange the alphabet, I'd vushne desna desna. It was surreal, but I immediately leapt into action when the doctor held up the baby. I knew to do skin to skin. They didn't clarify with who, but the receptionist was very nice about it. I mean, a year prior to that, my life was just about me. Then it became 50% about me, 50% about my wife. And now, selflessly, my care and attention was going to be divided equally between the three of us. And that was more than 5 years ago now. A lot has changed. I feel more comfortable financially since 2020, mainly thanks to both of my grandparents' wills, but I think... It was actually fine having a lockdown baby. I was worried that my neighbours hated the sound of screaming and crying. But actually, the only reason they ever got annoyed during that period was that they said my Thursday night NHS clapping was sarcastically slow. I mean, to this day, I still don't know what I'm doing. I know how ignorant I am in every aspect of my life. I'm someone who, if I'm watching a film where a character is a musician and they're playing jazz, I need to look at the facial expressions of the other characters to know whether the jazz is being played very well or very badly. I don't know what I'm doing. And kids do. They're assertive. They know what they're doing, what they want. I can present my kid with the finest three-course dinner known to man and they'll be like, oh, no, I couldn't possibly. You see, I'm having a banana at 2 a.m. I've decided. It's made me change my priorities to focus on someone else's life ahead of my own. And anytime it's hard, you know, for the baby, it's so much harder. It's hard being a baby. People wipe your mouth for you from behind. Every now a mystery hand just appears from nowhere and drags a wet wipe across your lips like you're being chloroformed by a spy. You never know how it's going to pan out in the future, you know? Hayden says it's sad that you never know the last day you picked up your kid. I do. He's 5. I'm nipping it in the bud next week. But it's rewarding. Being a parent is as rewarding as a good night's sleep. You know when you get like 13 hours sleep, you wake up after 13 hours completely sober, you're like, wow, let's renationalise the railways. But that's the story of how I became a parent and how I became a more considerate person, a more selfless person, something that the man who's just finished burping with his hand up, who's already asked more than their fair share of questions this evening, could learn from. But being selfless, as I now am, I will allow your question.
Obviously, you're keenly aware you're sharing your time slot with any questions. You do realise there are 3 other people on the panel tonight and you've not let them say a word.
Oh.
You know, the one sat behind you. The Labour MP, the climate change activist, the World War II veteran.
Well, let me be the first to apologise to all of you. I'm very sorry, especially the veteran. I mean, obviously, thank you for your service. I'm sorry for not letting you speak. Is there anything you would like to say tonight, World War II veteran?
Ich möchte zunächst...
Sorry, I personally think it's for the best I've not let them speak tonight.
But I've come all the way from South America.
Okay, that about wraps us up. This was a story of how I made time for others and that I became a more selfless individual. I'll tell you this just before I go. I was certain I wanted to stop at one child. It is enough of a handful. You don't want to exert yourself even more.
And speaking as a climate activist, it's much better for the planet.
Excuse me, I'm speaking. Thank you. But something absolutely terrifying happened to me a few weeks ago. My wife likes to be very certain about things, and this will become very apparent from what I'm about to tell you. She was in the bathroom one morning a few weeks ago, and I figured something was up, and I knocked on the door, and there was no answer, and I went in, and she said, we need to have a serious chat. Close the door. And I did, and she was like, no, mate, come in first and then close the door. Be clearer. Lined up next to her on the side of the bath, the scariest thing I've ever seen, in a row, 3 pregnancy tests. Positive, positive, positive. And I just thought, Jesus. Triplets. That was Glenn Moore's Almanac, written by and starring Glenn Moore, with additional material by Katie Story. It also featured Gemma Arrowsmith and George Fouracres. The producer was David Tyler. And it was a Positive production for BBC Radio 4.
Political language is taking over in speeches, slogans, even in apologies that don't sound remotely sorry.
Like when you say to your wife, I'm sorry that you are upset.
I'm Amanda Iannucci, and in Strong Message Here, I'm joined each week by a different guest to pull apart the baffling, the blustering, and the suspiciously well-rehearsed language of politics.
I want a speech that, dare I say, delivers.
Yeah.
Or makes me deliver, or something. Okay.
The new series of Strong Message Here continues on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, Thursday mornings at 9:45.
And indeed, tonight.